I'm moving away from the MLB action. Let's take a look at the NFL schedule. Take a look back, specifically the Giants. A really weird kind of a game. Looked like we were heading down that disaster road of Brandon Whedon destroying the Giants secondary and winning a game and stealing a game in the Meadowlands. They turn it around. They get that win. And now they're rewarded by going west to take on the 49ers.
You notice Brandon Whedon looks kind of like a Muppet a little bit? A
little bit. He's
kind of got Muppet face.
And his mouth is always kind of that little bit of gape. Like it's always ready to... Yeah.
He's got the baby eyes. He can't grow facial hair. It's a good look. Listen, the Niners... The Giants are going to San Francisco, which they did last year, by the way.
Yeah.
Why do the Giants keep having to go out west to play the San Francisco
49ers? The NFL does the Giants no favors with the scheduling.
It's unbelievable. I actually think that the Giants come in and win this game. I don't buy Alex Smith and that offense. Alex Smith is incredibly efficient. That's going to break down. There is a pendulum, man. And Michael Vick right now is on the wrong side of the pendulum.
That's true.
And Alex Smith is on the complete other side of the pendulum. And at the end of the day, you're not going to end in the middle. You can be on the wrong side of 50. But if you're a decent quarterback, you're going to come back to the pack. Eli Manning has 3 interception games, had one against the Bucs.
Okay.
Eli Manning threw a ball to Victor Cruz that was pass interfered, non-called, and just bounced into a Cleveland. That's going to happen to Alex Smith. He can't avoid that.
But what is it about this Giant team that makes you think that they can A, stop Frank Gore, or B, cover Vernon Davis? I saw Chase Blackburn try and run down. I think his name is Josh Gordon? I don't even know what the hell the guy's name is on the Browns. And watching Blackburn try and run that down, if Rivers isn't back in this game, then Davis is going to have himself a day.
Listen, I think Frank Gore is a very good player. The Giants could not stop DeMarco Murray week one. However, after that, they shut down Doug Martin. They did a pretty good job against Trent Richardson, who is a dynamic player, by the way. Getting to watch Trent Richardson twice because they played a local team and they played on Thursday night, and mm-hmm. I won't be able to see him for the rest of the year because he plays for the Browns. But the guy can play, and they shut those. I don't think that running the ball, especially with Frank Gore, who runs in the middle. Now the way that the Giants get hurt is people bouncing the ball outside because they don't play contain. The LeSean McCoy, for instance. So I would say that Kendall Hunter, is that correct?
Yeah.
Kendall Hunter could, because he's a quick back. He could get some big-time gains on the outside. I think that Frank Gore will be contained. I don't think that they have dynamic wide receivers.
X-Factor, Mario Manningham, Brandon Jacobs. Jacobs should go figure. Jacobs is probably going to make his first start again. I mean, again, not, he's not going to start the game, but he's going to play for the
Mario
first time
Manningham,
all season.
Mario Manningham in the open. First of all, the New York Giants know how to play Mario Manningham defensively. They did it for seasons on the practice
squad. I'm not convinced the Giants know how to defend any wide receiver right now.
Mario Manningham is not that dynamic. Mario Manningham was more so a product of Amani Toomer teaching him footwork and Eli Manning giving him the spot or giving the ball in the right spots.
Phillips is out again. I think Roll is still hobbled by that knee. Otherwise, I don't know what the hell he was doing in the play.
He was miserable.
Earlier.
And listen.
I forget the name right now, but somebody just got suspended 4 games for Adderall again.
Right. We have a big time
what
Adderall
What is the problem
issue?
With the Giants and
the
Adderall?
Giants love studying late night. They're big into that.
Yeah.
It was Hill, by the way.
Hill, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know why I blanked on his name.
Aaron
but
Ross.
There's a couple different pieces again missing from the secondary.
My man Stevie Brown, who I like to call Brandon Jacobs, as he's that random guy with Brandon Jacobs' number out there on defense making
That's a
plays.
Fair point.
My man Brandon had a big game. Listen, if Perry Fuel wants to guard Michael Crabtree with Chase Blackburn again, we might have some issues. But if he decides to play corners and safeties on the wide receivers, it all comes down to can the Giants get pressure? They haven't gotten pressure all season. They have this mythical, great defensive line. None of them exist. None of them have been playing well. Justin Tuck has a goose egg. We are 3-2. We are 5 games into the season. He doesn't have a sack.
It's a problem.
Jason Pierre-Paul, the quote-unquote best. He's probably not going to get the 30 sacks
right.
that I called
he's
earlier
well
in the season.
Well on his way to those 30 sacks with the sack and a half he's got right now.
He's got a sack and a half. The leaders have 8.5. He's 7.5 sacks behind the leaderboard. The Giants need to get to Alex Smith. Alex Smith is pretty. He's got good footwork. He's done. He's not Tony Romo. I think he's not Michael Vick. You can get the guy down. If you get the guy down, he'll turn the ball over.
I think, by the way, with the problems the Giants have had with contain this year, we're going to see some Colin Kaepernick, some zone read option, wildcat, ridiculous Michigas, right. And we'll see. I mean, the Giants for some reason seem to deal. They seem to be able to handle contain in that scenario. It's on like normal running plays or pass rush that they can't seem to get it right. But I think the Giants will see some of that, and we'll see how they deal with it. To me, your point's getting pressure on Smith. Yeah, they have to do some of that. I think part of it will also be containing Vernon Davis. I think if Rivers isn't playing in this game, and we're not sure his status, but if Rivers doesn't provide that speed in the linebacking core, Vernon Davis could have himself a day, and we'll see. And Eli Manning's just going to have to be Eli Manning.
And if it gets into a shootout, which is going to be difficult given the Niners' D, I think that the edge goes to the Giants. If it comes down to just battling in the trenches, you got to give the edge. It's going to be a good game. It'll certainly be competitive. Yeah. If the Jets lose to the Colts, is it all over?
I think it already is all over. And I really, yeah. Yeah, I'd be worried if I was a Jet fan watching Andrew Luck play, that they could really lose this game.
I think that this game is, and I know he's made AFC Championship games, and not in terms of the team, but in terms of he himself, this is the most important game of Mark Sanchez's career. I'm giving Mark Sanchez this opportunity if I'm the Jets organization. They have all these injuries internally with, you know, Woody Johnson on CNBC the other day, aside from being asked if Tim Tebow is a virgin. He said
he
was impressed by the effort in a loss to the Houston Texans because the Texans are a very good team. That's essentially throwing in the towel saying you're not a very good team.
Two things on that. One, that's CNBC.
Oh, it's so disrespectful.
What is that, man?
You know what it is? It's a
that's shock jock stuff.
It's a disrespectful question if you asked it to Tim Tebow. It's just stupid to ask it to Woody Johnson. What the heck does he know? Woody Johnson, and what if Woody Johnson was at some crazy Christian sex party, which would be extra weird because Woody Johnson's Jewish. If he was at some crazy Christian sex parties with Tim Tebow, I doubt he's ratting that out on national television. It's just stupid. But
wait, that was point one. Point two, it is ridiculous for an owner or a coach or a player to come out and say that I was impressed with our effort in the loss. But I was kind of impressed with the Jets' effort in the loss. Like I left that game going, hey, I expected them to roll over and get blown out. They showed up. They made it close. I think Sanchez didn't have a great game, but I've been saying that I think Tebow starts this week or next week, and he did enough to push that aside last week. So
I don't think you
it was
go
more
up
than I expected
against two of the five best defenses in the league, get shelled. And listen, Mark Sanchez, we're five games into the season. His season completion percentage is below 50. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's not good.
But I don't think you give him two elite defenses or top-tier defenses and then bench him against the Colts. Because you're given that's advantage Tebow.
Fair point.
What I do is I say, listen, you're going against the Colts. You better win this game. Mark, if you don't win this game, the Mark Sanchez era is effectively over. We're going to see what we have in Tim Tebow. You may get the job back a little bit depending on how bad Tim Tebow is, but we're going to give him a look.
T.O. or Plax, you bring him in at all?
Listen, I do. I personally would. And what I said,
I bring him in both. I go get Chad Johnson, too. I said this last week.
I wrote an article about it. You can find it at 104.5 The Team. I don't think they can. I think that they are like the boy who cried wolf. They made all of these media attention-grabbing proclamations and roster decisions with Tim Tebow and kept masking it with, no, this is good for the team. You know, Super Bowl predictions. No, that's not us getting attention. That's good for the team. It builds a great locker room. Oh, Tim Tebow? No, that's not, you know, for attention. He's a great player. Now that locker room is one of the most embarrassing ones in sports. Mm-hmm. Tim Tebow has a total of 14 rushes and 2 pass attempts. So I don't get how great that roster addition's been.
Right.
So now that deck of cards is crumbled. The media's turned on you. And now you could go get two diva superstar wide receivers.
Or three.
And which would be, Chad Johnson's done. I don't view him as valuable.
I'd still take him over what they got.
I would not. I think T.O. has value. I think Plexico has value. Those guys could actually help your team. I don't think they do it because I think they're scared of the perception that they're going to go be making media grabbing decisions.
If you're ready to pack it in without saying you're packing it in, fine. Then by all means, close up shop, give Chaz Schilling the rest of the season to really see if he can be something for the Jets. That's fine if you're ready to throw in the towel. Because you can be. I don't think your team's going anywhere. But if you're not, if you're seriously...
You gotta throw that in. I think anybody who listens to this podcast knows you don't think the Jets are going anywhere.
Look, I'm a Jet realist, not a Jet hater.
You're a Jet hater.
All right, listen.
It just so happens that hate is the real emotion that's conjured up by the Jets right now.
Okay? You want to go talk to Nick Swisher?
Let's stay on topic here.
I'm talking about me hating. I'm talking about you hating. Where was I? Jets. But if you're really trying to make a push, if you honestly think that you have a chance to go out and make a play for a wild card berth, then you are stupid if you don't look at these two guys because your wide receivers are garbage.
I personally would consider bringing both of them in, but I think, and I know people talk midseason, they got a new offensive coordinator. The fact of the matter is Plaxico Burress caught 8 touchdown passes last year from Mark Sanchez. He knows the team. He knows the locker room. He knows the quarterback. They have the rapport. He can fit right in. He's a great red zone target. Does he stretch the field like he used to be able to stretch the field? No. Do you need a guy who can do that? Yes. That's why you consider T.O. as well. But I would certainly bring in the threat of Plaxico Burress. Not to mention, he would make Tim Tebow way more effective. Because the threat of Plaxico on the outside, who and you saw it early in Eli Manning's career, Plaxico Burress can make a bad pass into a catch.
Right.
Okay, so you can add that threat. It would open the field up for Tim Tebow running the ball. It would create more of an opportunity for Tebow, who, by the way, dropped a dime.
That was a great pass. I tweeted as soon as he made that pass. I was like, that's it. Start him. I'm convinced. But in all honesty, this is half joke, half for real, and kind of more for real. Antonio Cromartie came out a couple weeks ago and said that he's the best wide receiver on the Jets right now. And then he goes out and beats his coverage, and Sanchez throws the ball out of bounds, and he still makes the catch. Is Antonio Cromartie the best wide receiver?
Simply because he doesn't know sideline footwork and the nuances of the game. If you're a legitimate NFL wide receiver, and I don't know if Chaz Schilling is, but if you're a guy who played college football and has worked as a wide receiver all season, I would imagine Schilling had better footwork than that, would have made a better effort to catch that ball.
How do you feel if you're Antonio Cromartie? You're like, I beat my guy. I'm actually open. Oh, you threw it out of bounds. I could have made that catch.
I disagree with that. That's Sanchez bashing. It wasn't a terrible pass. Wasn't a great pass.
Okay.
Was a catchable ball with good footwork.
All right. Fair enough. We'll come back. We'll get into some of the NHL lockout just real quick. I have to drown my sorrows somehow. And we will get a claim. It's cover 2.